Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
You do not hold people hostage or engage in ransom taking to get 100% of your way. And you don't.
What?
That's what you're doing. Suggest that somehow a health care bill that you don't agree with is destroying the Republic.
It is.
Or is a grand socialist scheme.
It is.
You know, if you disagree.
It is. I'm not going to talk about it. Every time Obama speaks, he looks worse. What's with the bangs? He looks like Caesar. Did anyone notice the new bang look? Like teeny little bangs were hanging down off his forehead? Did anyone notice that? Am I the only social observer? He says you do not hold people hostage or engage in ransom taking to get 100% of your way. Well, that's just what Caesar is doing. Anywho, here we are. Yeah, you know, I was going to talk about politics, but I'm not sure I can even handle it tonight. I mean, there's so much else. There's a lot of other things going on here, by the way. I'll start with the Indian buffet story. It's a new one. Went to the Indian buffet off the highway. Overheard this. Man finishes eating, goes up to the poor Sikh owner and says, "It's all you can eat for $8.95, right?" Guy says, "Yes." He says, "Well, since I didn't finish all I can eat today, can I take it home with me?" I swear to God, now guy was kidding, of course, but it was a funny line. It really was a funny. How do they stay in business? I don't understand it. How do they monetize an Indian buffet? I don't get it. But anyway, what's the difference? I see the news is crazier by the second. Here's a news story I'm supposed to worry about. Tom Hanks has diabetes. Duh. I mean, that's a flash. In the middle of what's going on in the world, Tom Hanks has diabetes. He stuffed his face on Hollywood catering trucks for 30 years, and this is a news story? Flash, Tom Hanks has diabetes. That was all over the news. Here's another one. Larry King joins AARP. Now, he's not been on the airwaves for a long time. I actually like Larry King. I was on Larry King 40, 30 years ago when I was doing a book tour on nutrition. He's actually a very intelligent, nice guy, and I have nothing negative to say about him. I mean, the crocodile breath, the garlic, you can do a lot with that. But AARP has signed them up to create one-minute daily vignettes. Can you imagine a Larry King daily vignette? What could it be on? Vignette, sorry, not vinette. Although Larry King's, you know, it could be a vinette with him. Oh, God. Should we start playing Silent Night and Christmas songs already? Is it early enough, October? Guys, could you get Bing Crosby, "I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas," because I can't take Megyn Kelly. She's got the nail file report on opposite me now. It's going to cut into her. She'll do well once I leave this slot. She'll soar. She's running up a terrible. I am going to be the first radio show in America to start the Christmas music. I'm starting tonight on October 8th, 2013. I want to get it in early. It's been going through my mind. I can't wait for Christmas.
Where the tree.
Obama seems to be the Grinch that stole Christmas. What a mean guy. What a mean guy, shutting down World War II Memorial, Vietnam Memorial, having his feminasties holding old people hostage with their 44 magnums on their fat hips in buses from Japan, thinking they're under arrest, and you don't know anything about it. What'd you watch, Monday Night Football last night, you dunce? Probably. Yeah, that's a big audience for that. I understand that it's a big, big thing in the crack community. I would say the demo in the Monday Night Football is probably the greatest amongst crack users than any other demo in the country. How come they don't break it down by drug use rather than by age bracket? In other words, you do demo in the media like 12 plus, 25, 54, 35 plus, males 35 to 64. I think that's an antiquated method of seeing who's listening to your show. I think it should be done by those on Prozac, those on Valium. Those on, let's say, Valium users, Prozac users, crack users, marijuana users. That would definitely, how did I get on this site? I swear to God, I hit the wrong, my computer is so infected. I'm on ChineseLady.com. I didn't go there, I swear to you. Jenny, age 37, 172 centimeters, 58 kilograms. I'm not interested in her. I was looking for a How did it go there? My other computer I had to throw out today and buy a new one. Now I can't get out of this. Have you noticed the viruses on the computers, how bad they are? Yellen to be nominated. Do you know who Yellen is? Does anyone have any idea who Yellen is? Yellen is the perhaps least qualified person in American history to run the Fed. Why? She's never created a service or a business that anyone in the world has ever heard of or wanted. And yet, of course, she was a professor of economics at where else? University of California at Berkeley. My alma mater. Now, what does she know about money policy? Nothing. She knows what they tell her to do, which is make certain that you keep interest rates at zero so that we have a phenomenal sub rosa inflation going on in America, primarily in real estate. Could you play Bing Crosby again? It's a little early for me to get too excited over Yellen. I want to hear Bing Crosby. I really mean it. It's been going through my head. I don't quite understand why. That's it. No, I want to hear Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That's the one I really want to hear tonight. You know, it actually is autumn in the year out in Northern California. I was up my hill. I have like a little hill orchard. All the leaves are falling. Gene Autry. Picture me with my little wind-up Victrola as a little boy on the rug in the Bronx, winding it up with the old 78, listening to Gene Autry. I almost got electrocuted for my American Flyer train set.
Used to laugh and call him names.
Okay, all right, it's enough already. Remember the American Flyer had three tracks and Lionel had two? And you never felt like you were... You always felt like you were somewhat a second-class train citizen when you had American Flyer. The three trackers. You always wanted the two tracker with the water car and the lights. But I was the kind of kid that would play with the electricity on the track. I would like jam it into the in the wall, and I could get electrocuted as a kid. I got a shock. I don't think I ever recovered from it. In fact, to this day, I think I died, and this is all a dream. When does this dream end? I don't understand. How did I get into radio from getting shocked to death as a child playing with a train track? Did you ever have that fear that you died at some point in your life and that the rest of it's just a dream? Well, don't, because it's not true. Let me prove it to you. There is a story that is allegedly true from Albert Einstein's memoirs, where a man, you know, Einstein was saying, what is reality? Equals MC squared. What's the perimeter of the universe? Guy comes in, Herr Einstein, and gets in an audience with him. Says, Herr Einstein, I realized it's all a fantasy. Nothing is real. So Einstein stands up, slaps the man in the face, and he says, is that real? You get it? Pain is real, in other words. Pain is real. You want me to do politics? You think I can handle it? I don't know if I can handle it. I don't know if I can take another day of it. I don't know how much more I can take of Obama's lies, looking like Julius Caesar, a young Julius Caesar, with the bangs. What's with the bangs and the smirk? All you needed was a toga today. The man was relishing lying to the world. He was lying, and I looked at the press. I felt bad for the Schmendricks in the audience. I see guys who must have gone to college. Their parents must have given them piano lessons, accordion lessons, elocution lessons, dentures, dental work. The parents must have spent fortunes on these people to put them through journalism school, and they're sitting there not asking one journalistic question. It was embarrassing to watch. Not one of them stood up and said, Mr. President, you're full of crap. You're the one holding the world hostage. How dare you say that? Or how about this one? Hey, Mr. President, why don't you sit down with the opposition since you're willing to sit down with terrorists in Iran? Or how about this one? Hey, Mr. President, don't you ever get tired of lying? Or how about this one? You get the picture. Not one of them said anything. 855-407-2822. I admit that my legs are not as good as Megyn Kelly's. And I must tell you that my hair is not as good, but I beat her in many other departments. I have a better beard than she does. I don't have to use Nair. That's number one. Number two, I think my eyebrows are better than Megyn Kelly's. I'm looking at her right now as I talk. What does she have on? Immigration rally. Oh, that is so yesterday, immigration rally. I covered it yesterday. The story I covered on the shooting of the woman, the execution, was on our show last night. So in other words, her staff is using my show for a show prep. I have to decide what to use to give her something to ruin her show tomorrow. I'll throw her something, maybe the biker beatdown, so she can have the biker, who's an undercover NYC police detective, pounding on the SUV who just got fired. You know, who I like today? Boehner. I really liked him. The real Boehner came out there, the iron worker's son. First of all, he has a nice voice. You could see how he got where he is. Nice tan, nice voice, nice suit. You know, I'm watching a show lately that everything looks like the TV show to me now. All of politicians look like the show I watched Sunday night on HBO with the guy I never liked in the beginning, but I think he's terrific now. Boardwalk Empire, Steve Buscemi. He's grown into the role, I got to tell you that. But everything looks like Steve Buscemi and Al Capone to me now. In fact, in the Sunday night episode of Boardwalk Empire, when Al Capone and his goons, the Goombas, and I don't think it's a relationship between goon and Goomba. I don't think it's of the same root word. I'm pretty sure it isn't, since goon is an English Anglo word and Goomba comes from a Latin root meaning something else, and I don't think it means gumbo. But it's about Al Capone and the Goombas taking over Cicero, Illinois, because they couldn't run Chicago. They couldn't rob it sufficiently. So they go to take over Cicero, which they did do, by the way, through force and through intimidation. I said, my God, everything in Boardwalk Empire looks like what's going on in the political structure today to me. It seems to me that it's a repeat of history. Or am I the only one who sees it this way? 855-407-282. Let me take a quick call. I'll take a break. I'll take a sip of my diet soda to try and wash down that horrible Indian buffet. Disgusting. I do it every time, once a week. I can't get it out of my system. It's horrendous. But it gives me energy. Frank on WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, can you hear it?
All right, thank you very much for the That's called cell phone breakup. Get a new tower there in New York. Hey, I got to say, thank God, if you're an audience of this show, there's three things you're never going to hear on my show. No one's calling me the great one. No one's going to say you're a great American, because I wouldn't let them on the air. I don't have, you know, one thing I don't have in this show, as many do in the business, you don't know the secret. Most hosts have a Rolodex of a top 50 or 100 callers, and they call them the night before and tell them to call in, and they tell them what to say. And it usually starts with, man, I don't know, the world was dead till you came along. I got to tell you, you're such a breath of fresh air. I'm only telling you, if I hear the word fresh air one more time, I'm going to open up a pigsty. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I will sit down and work with anyone of any party, not only to talk about the budget, I'll talk about ways to improve the healthcare system.
Oh, yeah.
I'll talk about ways that we can shrink our long-term deficits.
Oh, yeah.
I'll also want to talk about how we're going to help the middle class and strengthen early childhood education,
improve our
infrastructure and research and development. There are a whole bunch of things I want to talk about in terms of how we're going
to
make sure that everybody's
going to be
in the society.
You're a mean one. You really
He is the Grinch that's stealing Christmas from the vets.
You're as cuddly as a cactus, you're as
Obama's the big loser here. Oh man, people don't like him. They're seeing through the king has no clothes. No one tells him this, though. That's the problem. No one even said, what's with the bangs, Mr. President? What's with the bangs, Mr. President? You gotta cut that out. I mean, it's not selling in middle America. By the way, did you hear the good news? Yes, it came out again. You know, there's two ways to listen to the Savage Nation, all radio. One is the way you're doing it on the radio, regular radio, car, press a button, house, press a button. Then you can get it on your iPhone. That's for you young people under the age of 79. Or you can listen to it on the internet. I am number one. I smashed everyone. In fact, I was bigger this time in the third quarter of 2013 than I was last time. I thought I wouldn't be. You never know. I'm 13.1 share, and my most direct competitor is Sean Wallbanger Hannity, who's number 7 with a 4.4 share. It's not looking good for him, because if we're going to go head-to-head on talk radio, on regular radio, if I'm number 1 on the internet with a 13.1 share, and he is number 7 with a 4.4 share, I suspect he lost the fight before he enters the ring. It's that simple. 855-400-7282. And I'm in it to win. I'm a competitive but not a vicious fighter. What I want you to understand about me before I take a call, I watch boxing all the time. And what I love is after the guys brutalize each other in the ring, and they do, they really go for, you know, the kill. Have you ever seen them sort of the camaraderie after a fight, how they respect each other? I'm that kind of fighter. I'm not a vicious fighter. I am hungry to win, yes. I have a tremendously competitive nature. I have since I was born. It's probably because I was a breech baby, and any kid, any infant will tell you who becomes a man that if you come out feet first and your head is stuck and you're struggling for the first breath of air to get out and start to say, hey, I want to talk, until you finally get the first words out, I mean, it's a long time. It's an eternity. Your legs are out kicking. Your arms are in there. Your head's stuck in there. You don't know where you are now because you're not a whole thing inside a floating womb. You're out of the amniotic sac. You're still connected, but you're disconnected. In essence, you have one foot in and one foot out, which is what radio is all about. So I, in essence, was born for radio, only I didn't know it. I tried other things for many, many years. And there's no question that I will be number one. And then what? Then what's going to happen? What, I'm suddenly going to go to heaven? I thought about that today. What if I had all the money in the world and all the ratings in the world and was loved by everyone in the world? And then what? It doesn't change anything anyway, which is why religion enters the picture. That is where theology comes into the picture. That is where priests and rabbis enter the picture. Because at the end of the day, it really isn't only about winning. I've known that for a long period of time. But still in all, I want to win anyway. It's that simple. I don't know why. It's just an instinct. It's probably the breech birth. Now, this Janet Yellen, as head of the Federal Reserve, is typical. It's nothing. It's not that she's bad. She doesn't know the first thing about business. Nothing. Never ran a Carvel stand. Never produced the smaller. Let's say you're a woman in business, and you've built a business through a cookie shop. You know what it takes. She's never done that. 1974, research fellow, MIT. 1971 to 76, assistant prof, Harvard. Economist, Division of International Finance, Federal Reserve. 1978 to 80, LSU lecturer. You know what that is in England. And they know a lot about business over there. 1980, 82, Haas School of Business, Berkeley. Now, has she ever done anything to create a product or a service? No, she knows nothing about business. Nothing. She's put in there strictly to do what she's told to do with the Federal Reserve, and she's a woman. That should make a big difference.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. It's the best of times. It's the worst of times. We happen to be stuck with a babe as our master. Read the Bible. I mean, read the Bible. Women rule over them and a babe is their master. It's biblical. We're being ruled by the four horsewomen of the apocalypse. And a babe is our master. It's pretty clearly biblical. I don't know where this ends. I have a terrible feeling about where it ends, but hey, I've been wrong before. I tend to be a pessimist. And I'm usually proven wrong in terms of my emotions. I'm a very pessimistic person. Don't get me wrong. I'm not one of these fake, you know, Dale Carnegie types, you know, how to win friends and influence people. That seems to have worked in the 50s. I don't know. It doesn't work anymore. Who actually believes that kind of Carney talk? I don't know, maybe it works for some. Michael Savage, number one streaming talk show, 13.1. Rush Limbaugh, 12.1. Glenn Beck, 8.3 share. And then everyone else falls by the wayside. Imus, 0.6. Why is Imus still on the radio? I don't understand this. How could that man have an audience? Now, you talk about American Flyer. He belongs on an American Flyer train set. Is like a, you know, a leprechaun. They should recreate Imus as a leprechaun and put him on a train, a toy train. Look at these people down here on the bottom. Never heard of them. Yeah, no, look, we're all in the same. But yeah, we're all friends. Oh, sure, just like we go to a club at night together. Oh, hey, how you doing, Rush? How you doing? That was a great show you did today. Oh, yeah, you're a great one. Oh, no, you're the great one. No. Reminds me of Art Carney and Jackie Gleason with the raccoon skin caps. Hello, great one. No, you're the great one. Hey, great one. It's like the Great One Club. The Great One. How can anyone listen to that? How can you believe anyone is a great one? How? Aren't they embarrassed? They have no sense of shame. Well, that's why the lady is a tramp. 1997, Chair, President's Council of Economic Advisors. 2004 to 2010, President and CEO, Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco. 1985 to 06, professor, Haas School of Business, UC Berkeley. So you mean she was double-dipping? She was a professor at the Haas School of Business and president of the Federal Reserve Bank at the same time? How does that work? How did they double-dip all of these con people? 2010, the president, vice chair, Federal Reserve Board of Governors. Who needs the Federal Reserve? Who needs the Federal Reserve to begin with? What is she there for, Yellen? She's going to save, here comes Yellen, Grandma Yellen. Going to save the U.S. economy. I love the local yokel newspaper. Everything has to be native. Though a native of Brooklyn, that means red diaper dopa baby. When you hear the name Yellen and see native of Brooklyn, it means she was raised steeped in red diaper dopa babyisms. So they write, though a native of Brooklyn, Yellen has deep Bay Area roots. What do you mean deep roots, you idiot? The only people with deep roots here are the Miwok Indians, and they disappeared a long time ago. Who has deep roots here? In 49, the miners came. In 51, ever you hear that one? It was Mark Twain wrote that. I almost got killed once saying it in a bar in Lake Tahoe. I shouldn't have done it. In 49, the miners came. In 51, the prostitutes. And then he went on to say something about the Native Sons of the Golden West, which was not very complimentary. But it was Mark Twain. I guess he got fed up with the local yokelism about Native stuff. I don't go for the Native. What do you mean Native? What does that mean? Your great-great-grandfather was a gold miner or a prostitute or a claim jumper? The grandfather could have been a prostitute, too. Don't underestimate the power of the purse. President Barack Obama plans to nominate Janet Yellen. Oh, God, another red diaper dopa baby. Another deep red commie. What does she know about business? Nothing. I actually like Lawrence Summers. I thought he was a far more qualified, better man. And they threw him out because he was not going to go along with Obama's juggling of the books. But basically, what do you think they do? It's juggling the books. It's like when you get caught with a business that's a fraud during an audit, you juggle the books if you're a crook. So she's going to be juggling the books, pumping money, which is illegal to begin with. It's unbelievable. She's still on, Megan, opposite me. She's going to soar when I shift to the noon. Megan has a clear run. She was terrible last night in the 25:54 demo. She got slammed. Awful. 9 p.m. East Coast, Megyn Kelly had 289,000 in a 25:54 demographic. I don't know what drugs they use. But it says demographic 25:54, Kelly, 289. Morgan, 145. That's the slimy limey. Maddow, the strange one, the swamp creature, 299, and Dr. Drew, 76. He's creepy, Dr. Drew. I don't go for guys who are too perfect. He strikes me as something behind that scene. Something behind the scenes there doesn't add up. Anyone who's that like Mr. Rogers nice, you know and I know, right? Oh, his show is called After Dark. Dr. Drew's show is called After... No, I'm sorry, that's another channel. At 10 o'clock, Hannity took a real beating. He was tied with the communist O'Donnell. Poor old Anderson Blooper was 128. He's only on because, you know, he's got connections. A complete flop. His show, I don't even actually mind the guy, but he's a flop completely. I like the guy. O'Reilly, 320 versus Tapper. Tapper's the biggest flame out in the history of television. Where they got him from, I don't know. That's I don't know who's going to be opposite me 12 o'clock noon on Fox. Who am I competing with come that time of year? It's going to be a big blowout. Wow. I think what Kelly's going to have to do is add, like, she's going to have to talk to Roger about adding special features on her website in order to build audience and revenue for the news corporation, which will be like, see Megan pluck her eyebrows for an extra 25 cents. For only 35 cents more per month, watch Megan apply makeup. For 29 cents a month, see Megan curl her hair. You know, they can do a lot with a woman. They can't do much with guys like me. There's not much that I do before or after a show. I'm not going to talk about politics. Okay, I'll talk about politics, even though I already have done so. I have done so. You have heard it already. You have heard me talk about Yellen, the most unqualified woman in the history of the Federal Reserve. But after Bernanke, I mean, you can't go further downhill than Bernanke, the man who saved the world. Savage tops in digital radio rankings again, top of michaelsavage.com. U.S. ranks bottom in math skills. No. You're kidding. You mean the feminists who took over our schools, who've been teaching them how to put condoms on cucumbers, and how diversity is wonderful, and how perversity is even better? We're wondering why our children are the lowest among 22 nations in the Organization for Economic Cooperation. How can they add when they're not taught skills? They're taught that America is terrible. Capitalism is evil. Mother and father were evil. U.S. ranks bottom in numeracy skills. Britain among worst three in youth literacy skills, study finds. See, here's the interesting part. The reason the U.S. and the U.K. are at the bottom of these literacy skill tests is because of the great flood of third world immigrants who refuse to learn. Even if they have inherent natural intelligence, they're not being required to learn anything. Now, why do the Japanese top the ranks in numeracy and literacy skills? Number one, there's almost no immigration in Japan. That's number one. Did you hear this? Because the report said Japanese aged 25 to 34 had only finished secondary education, were better in writing skills than university graduates in the same age bracket in Spain and Italy. So why are the Japanese at the head? First of all, inherently, they're a smarter race. You're not supposed to notice that or say it, but we all know there's a differential. In fact, I'm not going to repeat something that cost even a Nobel Prize winner, and he was a real Nobel Prize winner, not like Obama, who was given the Nobel Prize simply because of his racial skills, or shall I say his rhetorical skills. I am talking about Mr. Watson of Watson and Crick, who was a god to me when I was a biology student as an undergrad at Queens College. After all, this man discovered the double helix, the spine in essence, the structure rather of the DNA molecule. Now there was some rumors that it was really the X-ray crystallographer who actually made the discovery, and she didn't get the credit. I know all of that. But Watson and Crick were our gods when I was a young biology student in Queens College, and it goes back a long way. I mean, I got to tell you, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm very proud of it, because when I grew up, we looked up to older people as wise people. I don't care that you look down upon older people and you look up to crackheads with rubbing their crotch and gold chains on their nostrils. It doesn't matter to me what you look up to. That's why you're a nation of illiterate morons, because if you started paying attention to the highly educated individuals like myself, maybe the literacy skills would go up in the United States of America. Anyway, Mr. Watson, Dr. Watson, was the head of the Cold Spring Harbor Research Institute, and somewhere about 15 years ago, he was thrown out of Cold Spring Harbor for making one or two statements saying that certain races are inherently smarter than others. I will not go into the details because then I'll get in trouble. He said it anyway. They fired him, a man of that quality. Can you believe this? Now you understand why we have the lowlifes in high places that we're all living with today. 855-400-7282. That was a close call, what I just did. What you just watched was almost suicide by talk radio. I took that hockey puck right up to the plexiglass wall. I just banged against that wall and shocked the entire... I just did an Indy 500 rollover... A rollover and recovered back on the four wheels. I just smashed it. I turned the car upside down and landed on my four wheels. Do you know that? I was just a stunt flyer who went into a spin and pulled the plane out of it. But you have to understand what I just did. You have to be in this art form to understand how close I just came to... I never lose control on the show. I sound as though I'm going to. That's to excite the audience. That's what any good stunt flyer does. That's what any good indie driver does. That's what any good hockey player does. A good hockey player takes himself and slams up against the plexi in order to, you know, get the fans to awaken from their Prozac. So the Japanese were number one in literacy skills. The U.S. ranks bottom in numeracy skills. Do I have to ask you why? Do I have to ask you why the United States is now the bottom in numeracy skills? Do the feminists, the feminasties who have taken over the educational establishment, do the feminasties emphasize math? No. They eliminate testing because it's unfair. It's unfair to the dummies. Who is testing unfair to? The dummies. Testing is not unfair to the smart people. Testing is unfair to the dummies. Now, I never did well on tests, by the way. I was a terrible test taker. I didn't get high grades. But I found out through time that I had other strengths. It wasn't in test taking. But meanwhile, I took the tests and didn't do well. And I had to really, you know, eat humble pie. I had to feel bad about myself in order to do well in something else. I had to feel bad about myself in something to do well and to excel in something else. Don't you understand how growth occurs? From the beginning of time, whether it was prehistoric man egging his son on to becoming a fighter so he wouldn't be a wimp hiding in the cave when the saber-toothed tiger came to eat the wife and children. The father said, get your butt out there, I'll stick a spear in your back. How do you, he didn't sit there and say, now son, there is a dangerous animal outside the cave door, and we are in danger. I want you to understand that you have to stop playing the equivalent of your video game. We understand your painting on the wall of the cave, son, and that's real nice, and perhaps one day you'll be the Picasso of Neanderthals. But today, son, we need you to get out there and kind of, let's pull one for the whole cave team here. No, it wasn't done that way. The father slapped the kid around, put a spear in his butt, and said, get out there and protect your mother, or else I'll put a spear in your back. So that's how it starts. Now look where we are. Nancy Pelosi defines a child as age 27, who's living home with the parents, wearing a hairnet at night to make sure his hairdo still looks good after, and so he can go out clubbing that night, goes out and uses ecstasy all night, comes home stoned with vomit on his feet, and then sleeps till 3 o'clock, and he's on Obamacare. And you wonder why the rates are through the roof. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
We have a broken immigration system. It is broken from top to bottom. It is broken for our national security interests. It's broken for our economic interests. It's broken for the rule of law. And it's broken for the millions of people who are here working day in, day out, undocumented, who finally deserve a status, finally deserve an answer after all these years.
Well, you have a status that's called illegal alien. That's the official status, Mr. Mario Diaz-Balart. You have a status. It is well known what your status is. Illegal alien. That is why it was created. So your Caesar Obama, had the audacity, the nerve, to open up the National Mall today to illegal aliens who are not even citizens because they have First Amendment rights, according to Caesar. But the World War II vets, Vietnam vets, and other ordinary Americans have no such rights to Caesar Obama. Can you believe the fallen state of affairs in this nation? Let's go to the callers on the program. I'm not going to sit here and wring my hands. I won't do it. KSFO, my hometown of San Francisco. James, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, Savage. So I am so curious, I had to call in, and I can't stand waiting until January 1st or 2nd when you're on the air during drive time. But I have to know, I see these visions in my mind of these people going through their daily routines. At the top of the hour, they hear the news update and then the song with Wallbanger. They're expecting the Wallbanger show, and then it's rock music and Savage, and there's probably millions of people who have never heard you before. What are you going to say, and what song are you going to play? What's your introduction to them? Because they've never heard you, and nobody talked about you, so they don't even know who you are.
I have no idea. I thought about it, and I figured I'll do the same type of show I'm doing today, whatever my mood, you know. It'll be based on the news, and then it'll be improvisational radio based upon my moods, emotion, drift, wherever I want to go to be happy, James. It can't be pre-planned. I'm not going to change formats at all. The people who love me are my core audience, and they're going to expect exactly the same show, which is news and improvisation. There's nothing else I'm going to do. There's no point in changing the show, is there?
No, I don't think so.
And what I'm going to say, so they don't know me. Say, who is this crazy guy? What's he doing? Why is he doing that? I never heard of him. What is he talking about? I can't change it and suddenly become an announcer. And so I'm going to have Mitt Romney on my first show?
he's a great American.
Well, he is a great American. I could have Mitt Romney's grandchildren on, too. I could have Mitt Romney's entire family on, going back as many generations as possible for the first three shows. I could have George Bush on, the entire Bush clan. I could have Megan, what's his name? The crazy ex-pilot who was tortured. What's his last name? From Vietnam. The guy I feel bad for, PTS. I could have Megan McCain on. That would be some show, can you imagine? I probably won't have many guests on the show. James, it's going to be the same. Do you expect me to do a different show, yes or no?
No, I don't. I was just it's going to be an exciting show to listen to, though, because I know there's going to
be... It will be memorable. I will tell you this. If my mother got... If she was alive, I'd have her on. She passed away many years ago. You probably heard the great Mama Savage call. The most famous call in the history of my talk show is Mama, when I asked her what her secret to longevity was. I got to play that for you one of these days. But she's not around. She's in heaven cooking Veronica's for God. I hear that's one of his favorite appetizers now. But no, I don't know who to have on. There's no one to have on. You know, I mean, there's a couple of people in Hollywood that I like who are not even Murano conservatives, but I like them as actors and as conservatives. I may have one of them on because I like the guy as a person. That's about it. I'm not going to go for guests. Time flies when you're doing a good show, James. Today already, you know, the first hour is almost up already. I flew through this hour. And yet you got politics already. I talked about the appointment of Janet Yellen to the Fed. I told you she's unqualified and why. I played a tape of this radical illegal alien pusher in Washington, D.C., which is an embarrassment. In my day, would have been arrested. They never would have opened up the National Mall to him. And he says, we want a status. And I said, your status is clear. You're an illegal alien. So I've done my politics, but you don't want to just hear politics, I'm sure, correct?
That's correct. I got one more question for you, though. So do you think they're going to start talking about you once you're number one in radio? Because, I mean, nobody...
No. They're ignoring me as number one. I'm the number one show on the Internet in radio. The top 25 streaming talk shows has only a number one winner, me. Michael Savage is the heavyweight. I am the Muhammad Ali of my time, 13.1 share. I beat Rush by a full share point. The fact of the matter is, they're not talking about it. They don't want me to exist, James. But it doesn't matter what the industry wants. All that matters are the people who come into the great tent called the radio audience. If they keep coming into my tent, that's all that matters. And I hope you'll attend the Savage Revival on January 1, 2014. I'm going to give out prizes, too. I don't know what they are yet. They might be special drop cloths, Great American drop cloths. Red, white, and blue plastic painted drop cloths for the first 5,000 callers. I'll be back for another big hour right here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We've got to stop repeating this pattern. I know the American people are tired of it. And to all the American people, I apologize. That you have to go through this stuff every 3 months, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord knows I'm tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point,
night basketball.
We've got to kind of break these habits and mm-hmm. get back to the point where everybody understands that
it kills your vacation.
In negotiations, there is give and there is take.
You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
It is the Savage Nation. Yep, the Grinch who stole Christmas from the vets, from so many Americans. It's clearly Obama's fault. He won't negotiate with Republicans, but he's glad to negotiate with terrorists. And now on to the news. On WorldTribune.com, special story, report Netanyahu moving closer to ordering strike on Iran. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, dismayed by a U.S. reconciliation drive, has moved closer to ordering airstrikes in Iran, a report said. The Gatestone Institute asserted that Netanyahu has placed the international community on notice that Israel was preparing a military option to destroy Iran's nuclear weapons program. I don't believe a word of it. I've heard this for so many years, it's like the boy who cried wolf already. I wish Netanyahu would stop telling everybody what he's going to do and either do it or don't do it. Reports said Israel had acquired the military platforms to attack Iran, F-15, F-16. That's nonsense. They've had F-15s and F-16s for as long as I can remember. They've had refueling aircraft for as long as I can remember. As far as Jericho intermediate-range ballistic missiles, I don't know how long they've had them or didn't have them. It sounds like a PR piece to scare the Iranians who are not going to scare very easily. They're not scared. They're not going to be scared. This is no longer going to work, the threats and the saber-rattling. You have to use the saber or don't pull it at all. There's an old adage. The best warrior is he who never has to pull his sword from the scabbard. Scabbard? not from the scaffold. But nevertheless, the greatest swordsman is he who never has to even pull a sword. I remember that one. And if you keep rattling your sabers, you know, people don't believe you after a while. I'm on Israel's side. Make no mistake about it. There are many reasons for it. The number one is that Israel's not threatened to annihilate another nation, nor has Israel ever said that they're going to wipe a race off the planet, while Iran has done so. Therefore, you have to be on Israel's side, no matter where you're coming from. And the people in Israel have far more freedoms than they do in any other country in the Middle East. So for those reasons alone, then there are other reasons. But nevertheless, we have to be on Israel's side. I just can't understand how long this could go on. But don't call me about that, because we can't even talk about something we can't confirm, right? It's that simple. I'm having a bit of a sort of lighter show tonight, because I don't know why. I was in a bit of a giddy mood when the show started. Yeltsin, I talked about. No one knows who she is. But, of course, they've picked a person from Berkeley who knows very little about business. She knows a lot about being a bureaucrat. And I guess the fact that she's a liberal from Brooklyn who teaches at Berkeley, and that she's a woman, that's sufficient qualifications in the Obama administration. What else is in the news? Michael Savage is number one in digital radio rankings again. Michael Savage, 13.1 share. Rush Limbaugh, 12.1 share. Glenn Beck, 8.3 share, et cetera, and the rest fall off the cliff of the top 25 streaming talk shows. Thank you very much for listening. And there is news. There's a lot of news out there. The march on Washington by the illegal aliens is probably the greatest black eye Obama's ever given himself. It will never be forgotten by most Americans. Never. Going along with closing the World War II Memorial and the Vietnam Veteran Memorial and closing off the turnouts for Mount Rushmore, going along with that and permitting illegal aliens to march on Washington in a rally on closed National Mall is one of the greatest disgraces in the history of the American presidency. And if we had a legitimate media, somebody would have asked that today. But that's an old story. There's no point in complaining about the fact that we lost our media a long time ago. Park rangers turned Gestapo. Well, I saw that a long time ago. When my children were young, the girls were having a picnic on a beach in Marin County, and a group of feminasties came out with 44s on their not-so-thin hips. Mean-faced, clipped-haired park rangers with 44s threatened the girls with arrest for having a picnic on Stinson Beach a couple of decades ago. I think that the private national security force that Obama's been warning us about, that threatened he would unleash them on the public, would be the feminasties in the Park Service. Why were they armed? I complained about when they were armed. They were armed by Nixon. I said it shouldn't have been done. Why are you arming these women? What'd you give them guns for? Who are they using them on? The Mexican mafia to stop them from growing drugs? No. Who are they using them on? Old ladies in a tour bus. So that's it. That's it. That's it. Yellen to run the world, says Matt Drudge. Well, here's my story. Obama administration denied mass to Catholics. I had that on the show yesterday. That's good. What else is in the news? Sebelius shredded on Daily Show. I don't like the Daily Show. I never watch him. I was never a fan of Jon Stewart for one reason. The main reason is he doesn't write his own material. He doesn't do improv like I do. And I know it's true. How do I know that's true? Because during the writer's strike, he couldn't go on the air. It was like the rest of them. He was a puppet. He's Pinocchio. The smart guys in the back with the curly hair and the big eyeglasses who no one likes, who write his material, when they were off the air, he was off the air. So why do you never believe him? He's like Obama. Why would you believe a word the man says? Me, it's on the natch. What you get from me, I create on my own. It's bounced off the news, yes. But it's pure improv. I couldn't do the show. If I had a script, it's alleged, by the way, that I'm never going to say who. You'll never hear it from me. There are top people in this business who have a written script for them, and they read it from the beginning of the show to the end. There's not one word that comes out of their mouth that's not written for them. I will never divulge who that is or whom they may be. Actually, it would be who they may be, because whom would be the one person I'm not talking about. And then there are others in the business who have staged calls. I don't have staged calls. I don't have your phone numbers. I never ask anyone to call the night before. This is an improvisational show. This is why it's exciting. And that's it. Megan, 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 all hail Megan. Roger, 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 all hail Megan. You won't hear her talking about illegal aliens because her boss man, the fellow who runs News Corp, Mr. who I affectionately call, and I admire the man tremendously, but the man I affectionately call, what's his name again? I'm forgetting names. Everyone's Ailes, like Ale? No, his Ailes boss is called Rupert. Rupert Moloch. Rupert Moloch is in favor of granting amnesty to illegal aliens, which is why none of them will ever talk about it. Bingo. End of story. Forget about it. So if you care about illegal aliens being given citizenship, you're never going to hear about it on faux news. Never. And some of them do a nice job. I was watching them today because I don't know who's going to be on opposite me in January when I go on the air live. I think it's going to be the guy today with the puffy face. He looks like he had a bad night. I don't know what happened last night. I have nothing against any of them, truthfully. I wish them all well, even though we're all competitors. Who was the guy? What I mentioned his name, Neil. Shep Smith. He looked like he had one bad night in the town last night. His face, am I wrong? His face was puffy. He looked like he had been slapped around. Something was wrong. Something was wrong. I don't know what it was. I felt bad for him. I thought he needed an ice pack. The guy looked like he was in a 15-round fight, and they called it early in the second round. I don't know what happened. I have no idea. It was puffy and red-faced. Like, it did nothing. This was bad. Was it the ratings? Did he do that bad? Wait, I have the ratings in front of me here. What's his name again? Tell me the man's name. I call Scarf Van Soestern is Scarf. Him I never gave a name. No, Brett Baer is like the teddy bear. He's like the teddy bear of Fox News. Cute little Brett Baer. He got almost beaten by Al Sharpton. Can you imagine? A street bum like Al Sharpton almost beat the teddy bear. The five aren't that bad. I kind of like them. They're a little wise-ish. They're not bad. Hannity, well, forget about it. He was tied by the commie. The naked commie tied him. Who was on at 12 noon on Fox? I don't know who I'm up against. You guys sent me the list. I'll have to start thinking about them. I'll start bashing them earlier in December. I'll start beating them up. 855-407-282 is the phone number. It's the Savage Nation. Cantor, Obama quit mocking. Cantor is back again. He left the deli in Beverly Hills for a day to speak again. Does Cantor own Cantor's Deli? Is he related to that? No, it's with a C, not a K. I don't even know who Eric Cantor is. For a while, he was a big player. And then he disappeared into the woodwork. Eric Cantor, a Republican from Virginia. They have to remind us this from the Washington Post. Eric Cantor, a Republican from Virginia, is the House Majority Leader. You hear how fallen the Republican Party is? They have to tell us who he is. So now they're quoting him all of a sudden. He came back from Beverly Hills where he supervised the roasting of the pastrami in the cookers at Cantor's Deli. It's not the best. Alan Jerry's is much better on Rodeo Drive. They make a good gefilte fish, Alan Jerry. I go there once a year. I have the old world foods. I have the salt attack where the feet look like I was, man, that food is so bad. But it's delicious. How do people eat ethnic foods to begin with? All ethnic food is poison. Wherever you go around the world, you know, the reason ethnic food is poison is simple. It's not that it's inherently poison. It's because most ethnic foods that you think are your ethnic diets are not your ethnic diets. For example, do I have time to develop this? This was a big topic in 1981 in my book, The Skeptical Nutritionist. See, let's say you're Italian. So you think, oh, I eat Italian food. It's the food of my ancestors. No, the food of your ancestors was probably a whole wheat noodle with some vegetables that they grew in the garden and maybe a little cheese. They didn't kill the animal that they got the cheese from. They ate almost no meat because they couldn't afford to kill the livestock. That was your ethnic diet. If you're Jewish, your ethnic diet is closer to a Taliban who eats Southern Arabian food than it is to Cantor's Delicatessen. The Taliban have a more traditional Jewish diet than do the Jews of New York and Chicago. Why? Because pastrami is not a Jewish food. Corned beef is not a Jewish food. Lox is not a Jewish food. These are 19th century Polish holiday foods. Nothing to do with Jewishness or ethnicity. But you see, you feel, oh, I eat Jewish food. You killed more. I would say that the Jewish ethnic diet accounted for more early deaths than any other factor in American culture. Probably more than cigarettes. That's who he has on now. Trump he has on. Unbelievable to me. He's, wow. Who's the next big one? Stay tuned. Tomorrow night, it's George Bush. And the night after that, we're going to interview Al Capone from The Vault right here. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. And I'm on the Miami Herald website, and there's an important story I'm about to tell you. Stand Your Ground revisions win early approval. A Senate panel took the first step toward amending the Stand Your Ground self-defense law on Tuesday, approving a bill that would revamp neighborhood watch programs. That's a loaded set of dice right there. Whoa. That's a biggie. That's a big one. Here's a headline on Miami Herald. UM Hospital overbilled Medicare $3.7 million. The University of Miami Hospital will have to refund $3.7 mil to Medicare after a federal order that the hospital's billing found the hospital overbilled in 2009 and 2010, blah, blah, blah. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. So even hospitals are into the game. Even. Hospitals are businesses, that's all. It's a business. And like any other business, it's a, you know, profit versus loss. So if they can throw a cancer patient out early, they throw them out early. If they can overbill Medicare, they overbill Medicare. You know, this is business today. Was it ever any different? I don't really know. I don't really know if business was ever any different. Not every businessman's a crook. I know some very wealthy people who produce valid products. They've worked very hard their whole lives, and they're very wealthy men. They never robbed a dime from anyone. So you can't generalize and say that every businessman is a crook. You just can't do that. That's a baby way of looking at things. I'll tell you who is a crook. The government is crooked. It's a crooked institution. The longer I watch government, the more I know it's basically a criminal enterprise. They provide services, yes, some of which we need, yes. But by and large, you know and I know the private sector could do it far more efficiently at a lower cost. And you also know, you don't have to look any farther than the U.S. Postal Service. The end of the day, these fume spewing little trucks come down the street delivering third-class and fourth-class mail. Why do we need them? In an age of the Internet, in an age of email, in an age of express mail, what do we need the Postal Service for? I have nothing against postal workers. My uncle was a postman after he came out of the war. He was lucky to get a job in the Postal Service. He opened a deli and failed. He couldn't run a deli on 14th Street near Stuyvesant Town, so the next best thing was to become a postman. That's not a put-down. He tried to run a deli. He couldn't. He had a deli on 14th Street, across from Stuyvesant Town. He passed away. He came out of the war, served in Japan, gave me the bayonet. He gave me I remember I was a little kid. He gave me a samurai sword, and I took the wrapping. I ruined it. I swear to God, I was into like... See, I once wrote about this. Obama takes clocks apart like a kid, but he can't put them back together again. I took things apart as a child. As I've gotten older, I don't take things apart anymore. Obama is the eternal destroyer. Everything the man touches, he takes apart. He can't put it back together again. This is like Humpty Dumpty. He takes the world's greatest medical care system in the world apart, and like Humpty, he can't put Humpty together again. The medical system is like Humpty Dumpty to him. He doesn't care. He breaks things, and he enjoys breaking things. He looks like a happy kid breaking things. Opened the deli, crossed from Stuyvesant Town. We went in there. The thing you did as a family in those days was when a relative opened the business, we were immigrants, basically. We all went in. Everyone bought like $50, $100 worth of groceries from him. So, you know, like a Goodwill. You didn't just give. So we bought like this and that, the canned goods, took them home. That's like to start the business. It was a good luck thing. I loved it. He had a certain like roast turkey, and I could taste it to this day. Very good French bread. Didn't last. Had no knack for business. 2-3 years, bingo. He was on the beach again. He had to go into become a postman. Again, nothing wrong with it. If you can't open a business, you become a government worker. There used to be a statement that's got me. It got me out of teaching. A kid said it to me in high school once. If you can, you do. If you can't, you teach. Those who can do and those who can't teach. That was a blow because it's not 100% true. But most teachers wish to God they could be in business. They don't do it for the love of children, by and large. Some do. Most do it for the bennies. The 3-4 months off, you know, the pension. But teaching is a noble profession.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
When it comes to the issue of funding our government, the House has passed four bills. Four bills to fund our government and provide fairness to people under Obamacare. Each of those four bills was rejected by the United States Senate. Under the Constitution and our system of government, we asked that they sit down and have a conversation with us about funding the government, keeping it open, and providing fairness to the American people under Obamacare. They refused to do it.
Happy times again. Boehner has come back from the land of the living dead to take on Obama. I like Boehner today. I was very impressed with him. I could see why he's still Speaker. He was good. He was 100% right, by the way. The president made a fool of himself. No one believed the president except those paid to believe him. He was an embarrassment, by the way, to the Democrat Party. He showed a meanness, I'm talking about Obama, a meanness that is beyond belief. Unbelievable to me. But that's, look, they say the demographics are king. He's banking on granting amnesty to 30 to 60 million illegal aliens to close the books on democracy once and for all, to slam the book shut on this constitutional republic of ours. All it's going to take is amnesty for the non-citizens who will all vote for him. He'll vote for anything he wants, an increased debt limit. They don't even know what it means. What do they care? What do they care about a debt limit? What does it matter to an illegal alien if they can even translate it into their language? Would the word debt limit translate to the average illegal alien? What do they know about it? They don't want to know anything. All they want to know is that the government cheese keeps flowing. The checks keep coming in. That's all. They want to go to the Indian casino with the diabetes arm and gamble. The fat middle class women on the government dole. The cigarette on the side of the mouth with the cups. With the arms in Atlantic City. You ever see him pulling his chain? They don't care. Obama, Boehner, it doesn't matter to them. As long as the government check keeps coming in, they got the six medications, the free bus ride down from Queens. They pull a thing all day long with the coins. People are starving to death in Calcutta. They don't care. Who is holding who hostage? We, the American people, are being held hostage, not by a broken system at all, but by a broken record called Obama. A broken record called Obama. Now, there's a story I've been pushing on the execution of Miriam Carey. I started it last Thursday. I was glad to see that the Nail File picked it up for the last two nights, which is good. And the Nail File had the sister of the woman who was executed on. And there are many questions. I want you to listen to some of these sound bites about the poor black woman who was executed by the feds that are really shocking. We're going to play the clip first. I want to cut to the chase. This you're not going to believe. I want you to play clip 13, please, on the Savage Nation.
A lot of that footage is showing her actually trying to flee the scene. We still don't know from point A to point B exactly all the details that made this transpire. One question that really comes into my mind is, when was she shot and how that happened?
Mm-hmm. Now, here's clip 12. Listen to this one.
Well, there are many questions that can be raised. You see vehicles that have massive damage, yet and still my sister's vehicle does not have front-end damage, rear-end damage. There's questions. Any logical person can just look at what's being presented and ask the questions.
Now, here comes the shocker. This is going to scare you to death. Those of you who were skeptical of my covering the execution of Miriam Carey by the Federales, I didn't know until today that they took the baby out of the car before they killed Miriam Carey. That means that this was a targeted assassination. Listen to clip 14.
So when the baby was being carried away, was she then shot again? I've seen some type of interviews online as others when you Google and research this event, that there is an eyewitness saying that she actually was able to see from a window, the incident happening, and the baby was carried from the car, and then the fires continued to shot. That sounds like an execution to me. That sounds like there was some, the car was contained. Why was she still shot? It just really does not add up for us.
Now, we then jump to CNN, where I was shockingly, even CNN is covering the issue of them taking the child out of the car and then killing
Miriam Carey. No one knows why they killed her. Listen to number 15.
I saw them trying to pull someone from the car and realized when they actually pulled someone from the car, it was a child. And it takes you back a little bit at that moment. And as soon as the child was pulled from the car is when the gunfire really let loose. I heard the gunshots. I saw the policeman shooting. It appeared someone got out, and it looked like a rush of people running. So at that particular time, you didn't know if there was more suspects involved.
So they took the baby out of the car and then killed Miriam Carey. Why? This is on CNN. Now listen to number 16.
At first, when you go to the window, you go and just wondering what is happening. Because when you hear the police cars and the sirens, you know, as an arrested person, want to look. But then when the gunfire started, I stepped back from the window. But then out of curiosity, you wanted to peer around just to see. And then it became very involved. A lot of gunfire, a lot of police, a lot of security. And at that particular time, I went back downstairs and came right out the door to ask the police what was going on.
Mm-hmm. So if you get into the conspiracy side of this execution, it's an execution. If they took the baby out of the car and then shot the woman, what's the explanation for that? There's no support anymore for the issue that many of you have said, well, she, you know, bounced guys off the car. She was a clear and present danger. Her car was a weapon. I've heard that argument. Then why did they remove the child and then kill her? It sounds to me like they were targeting her. There's something wrong with this picture. Now we move across the sea, the Atlantic Ocean, to England, where an associate editor of the Sun UK, Trevor Kavanaugh, has accused politicians of taking the press to the brink of political control. And that is because the Prime Minister of England, the fake conservative Cameron, is putting in place press regulations that will, in essence, create a government press. First, let's start with clip 19, Cameron.
There's agreement across government about this.
We
want
there
a
now?
Good system of independent self-regulation
really
and a royal charter put in place for a recognition body to make sure that everything is done properly.
Is
Maria
Miller
will be making a statement in the House about it this afternoon, and I'm confident that we'll
so
have all this in place
bloody
in good,
good of
time.
You. That's so goody of you, Mr. Cameron. A royal charter, is there? A royal charter saying what exactly, Mr. Cameron? To regulate the press? Mr. Cameron, how about regulating yourself? Now we go to the editor of the Sun UK, Trevor Kavanaugh, who's not happy with the idea that Mr. Cameron is putting in a royal charter to regulate the press in England. You see, we can't let those writers get that uppity anymore and ask those questions, can we? Listen to number 17.
Where politicians can get their hands on three centuries of press freedom. And that is, despite their denials, exactly what they're doing. It may be a royal charter, but all it needs is another meeting like it's already had of the Privy Council, and it can be amended, adapted, and at some stage in the future, some other government might decide that the press is too free.
You hear this? Listen to 18 now. 18.
I think we need to look at exactly what they're doing here. I think that the big problem here is that what the politicians really are doing is taking us to the very brink of political control over the press. And that is just a bridge too far.
That's in England. Now, have you heard one editor in the United States of America of a major newspaper complaining about Obama's taking it to a bridge too far by controlling press access and by controlling who was allowed to ask questions? I watched Obama's press conference today. I was appalled that he called them by name and they were raising their hands and he said, well, John, I'm going down my list. He actually said going down my list. I heard it with my own ears. He said, I'm going down my list. He knows who to, which stooge to ask, just as Stalin did in the ex-Soviet Union. So you talk about press regulation. This is beyond press regulation. This is government media complex. And so Obama today gave the big speech, blah, 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 about why he's going to raise the debt limit and why he won't negotiate with Republicans. And I think it's very clear to any business owner why they can never vote for a Democrat socialist again. Now, I've talked quite a bit tonight. I want to go to some of the great callers I have, the best callers in the radio business, call the Savage Nation. They wait for a long time. We do not have a bank of numbers that we call for the guys to call me a great American or tell me they love the show or you know, come up with the jargon to make me feel better. Let's go to KKOH. Karen, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, you are a great American.
Oh, God, no, you just killed the show.
President Obama.
Obama.
No, no, save that for the stooges who need it. But go on, please.
President Obama came into the office with the express purpose in his heart of destroying everything that we call American. And
that's right.
Why, as a longtime liberal, I have put my liberal agenda on hold to restore and protect what is left of our Constitution and to stop this socialist, communist...
Why does Obama hate America so much? As the where does his animus towards this country come from? What happened to him as a child? Who brainwashed him into hating this country and its institutions? Why does he have such an animus towards the middle class? These are important questions, Karen.
They are, and I really don't think his motivations matter in the end, because what we have to do is we have to stop it. And what I want to do is talk to you about the fact that...
There's only one way to stop Obama, and that's to start impeachment hearings immediately. And although there's no chance whatsoever with this divided Congress to actually impeach him, the hearings themselves will derail his agenda, and things will come out during the hearings that will stop his agenda. And that's why it's more important than ever that the Republicans initiate impeachment hearings immediately. That's what I think. That's one man's opinion. Will it happen under this, you know, I doubt it. WKIM, Brian, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you for being pretty much the only American left that'll stand up for America. Specifically with this execution in Washington, D.C., where you brought to light the fact that this was an assassination and nobody would talk about it for a week. You know,
and I had it on the show when it happened Thursday. I did it Friday. I couldn't sleep over the weekend. I had it on Monday. I said it looks like an execution to me, and I was shocked to hear her sister say it looked like an execution to her. And people were attacking me for even bringing it up, remember, when I ran this for 3 days in a row?
I do remember that. But the thing is, you were right on the money, and people are just now starting to realize that. But I doubt you're giving any credit for trying to bring any of this to light. Why do you think that is?
Well, there's a lot of reasons why I'm ignored. The primary reason is that when you're the lead sled dog, people are only looking at your behind, and they can't stand what they're seeing. So therefore, they put you down. And as the lead sled dog in talk radio, I'm used to it. It's that simple. Of course, they hate the lead sled dog. What should they do? It may not be in gross numbers that I'm the leader, but in ideas, nobody can beat me. And on the internet, I mean, it speaks for itself. The show is number one as a streaming talk show. That is a younger dynamic. The younger people who are smarter generally, in some ways, or faster, let's say, in their desire for ideas and news, are listening to me. So that's good enough for me. The rest will shake out in 2014, I hope, and we'll see if people finally come to understand what I've been trying to give them and the actual national treasure that I am. All the years of being an author, plant collector, scientist, et cetera. I mean, I've done some wonderful things in my life. Personally, I'm not a great person, but in terms of my accomplishments, I'm very proud of what I've achieved on this earth. It's been through very hard work, and I hope that the world will come to understand that this is not just a casual throwaway radio show. There's a lot of, let us say, seriousness behind the humor. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The pumpkin, the turkey, and the tree. I love this time of year. I love autumn. We get a little autumn out here in Northern California. You can see it. The trees are changing. The leaves are falling over here in the Bay Area. We have a little autumn. It's like north, you know, it's a year, what do you call it, Mediterranean climate. So you can feel it in the air. Colder nights, three covers. Oh, a skunk ruined my sleep the other night. I'd like to kill it. I'd like to give it a dose of, I'd like to give it a dose of Obamacare. Whoa, that skunk. What's wrong? Why did God make such a creature? I love animals. I mean, I feel bad. Why does he make a creature that every animal on earth hates? I don't understand it, how it could be so toxic. Anyway, let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation. I didn't sleep. I've been lost my sleep for 3 nights. It throws you off. KBET, Robert, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hi. What disturbs me more than the congressman applauding the palace guard that murdered that woman is the fact that the applause just went on and on and on. It reminded me of Jonestown.
Yes, that's why I call Congress a group of drug addicts. They look like they're drugged. They talk like they're drugged. They act like they're drugged. That is why I call them drug addicts. And I strongly believe that our Congress should be drug tested, just as Americans are drug tested when they go to work for a corporation. Why shouldn't we know what drugs, even if they're medications, our so-called representatives are on? It may explain why they do things repetitively that are dangerous for the Republic. I really seriously mean they should be drug tested. What's good for the people are good for the people. Is good for the people. Thank you for the call. WNIS in Norfolk, Virginia. Freddie thinks something different about the shooting. Go ahead, please.
Hello?
Yes, Freddie, you're on the air. Quickly, fire away.
Well, Dr. Savage, I just want to put forward the supposition that perhaps, you know, Congress and all these clowns are all one side of the coin, and perhaps this lady was, we don't know anything about her. Was she a dry run? Was she a terrorist on a dry run? Because what better way to desensitize individuals as to have a woman with a child in the car full of explosives? Nobody's going to look at her twice now.
Well, that's a good justification, but it doesn't justify killing her. I mean, if she was a dry run terrorist, they should have interrogated her and found that out, not assassinated her. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Wait a minute. Excuse me. Major Nidal Hassan killed 13 people, wounded 30 people, and they haven't executed him yet, even though we know he killed 13 people in cold blood, and yet they killed a woman who didn't even have a Ronson lighter in her hand? No, I'm sorry. Your theorem doesn't hold water, my friend. It doesn't make sense to me. 855-407-282. Go to michaelsavage.com. Sign up for the old newsletter and whatever. D.C. shooting is the issue tonight. Again, WNIS in Norfolk, Virginia. Scott, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. Wonderful show.
Yes. Thank
I just
you.
Wanted to make a comment about the lady that got shot there in D.C. I totally agree with you, and I listened to you for, I believe it was like 4 nights. You kept bringing up this question, and you were making such obvious points about it, but nobody seemed to pick up on it. 42% of the people in this country, at one point or another in their life, will come down with a mental illness, according
right.
to the DSM.
That's right. So she's a mentally ill woman, and she deserves to be killed for her bizarre behavior?
No, not at all.
No, that's what I'm saying. Where did our compassion all of a sudden go for? Obama's always crying hearts and flowers every day for the sick, and we need more medical care. Here they knocked off a mentally unstable woman, and no one says a word but me.
Right, and then the whole big thing about Sandy Hook was, well, the kid had a mental illness problem. All these shooters have had mental illness problems, but they don't want to bring that up. They say they talk.
Well, they were all also on serotonin reuptake inhibitors, weren't they? You know, let's never forget the fact that the medical pharmaceutical establishment has a huge responsibility in some of these outbursts of mad behavior. The selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors are responsible for a tremendous number of violent acts. You would know that as a mental health professional.
Exactly.
Notice what I used. I didn't say Prozac. I said selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, better known as happy pills. They are accounting for an inordinate number of suicides and homicides. They are a clear and present danger to our population. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome. You made it to hour number 3 of the Savage Nation for this Tuesday night, October 8th, 2013. Well, Savage is number 1 in digital radio. I beat Rush handsomely this time. I mean, I know you don't want to hear it, but it's okay. He's a big guy. The TSL Top 25 Streaming Talk Shows, Michael Savage, has an astonishing 13.1 share. Rush Limbaugh has a 12.1 share. And, well, the little ones are fall behind him, way, way down there. Sean Hannity is a 4.4 at number 7. Let me repeat. Michael Savage is number 1 on the streaming talk radio world. Number 1 with a 13 share. Sean Hannity is number 7 with a 4 share. Now, if you consider that it's mainly younger people who listen to radio on the internet and on iPhones, right? You have to ask yourself, why are you listening to me? I'll let them answer the question because I can't answer for them. I think I know why. Savage is moving to drive time. Note your calendars. January 1st, 2014, 3 to 6 p.m. on the East Coast, 12 to 3 on the West Coast, etc. Here's a sad story on michaelsavage.com. Savage nailed it. The SEALs failed this weekend. Owing to Obama's rules of engagement, it was just what I feared. They were told to stand down because there were terrorist children in the encampment. Really, I didn't expect that. Terrorists have children? How could that be? And yet Obama was so worried about their children. He didn't care about the children in the mall in Kenya who were butchered with their eyes gouged out in front of their parents and thrown into freezers. No, the terrorist child is so sacred. Meanwhile, the shutdown denies death benefits to families of the fallen soldiers. U.S. ranks bottom in math skills among 22 nations in the Organization for Economic Cooperation. American children are the bottom in math skills. Are you shocked when they're learning how to put a condom on a cucumber? Instead of add 3 and 2 is 5, or 5 and 7 is 12? U.S. ranks bottom in numeracy skills. Britain among worst 3 in youth literacy skills. Why? Because the third world has flooded into the West and destroyed our nations. They've destroyed our nations because they refuse to learn English. They refuse to learn math. They refuse to learn anything to do with our culture. They want nothing to do with us. And Obama and Pelosi are catering to these barbarians. I have no other word for it. The barbarians are not at the gates. They're in Congress. Can you believe this? The Japanese are at the top of the list. You're not shocked by that, are you? They have the lowest immigrant population of almost any nation on earth. Really? Oh, so immigration is inversely proportionate to performance on such tests. Ah, so interesting. Well, you get the picture. You get the picture. All of this and more is to be heard right here on The Savage Nation. But let's not forget today's newsletter, which you can get free by signing up on michaelsavage.com. We have a president who is close to becoming a dictator. In today's issue, while veterans are being turned away from Washington, D.C. war memorials, and park rangers are trying to keep citizens from visiting Mount Rushmore, and Obama's feminasties are threatening people in national parks with loaded 44s, Obama has permitted union organizers and illegal aliens to use the mall to protest. Savage is outraged that men who fought in wars have no First Amendment rights, but non-citizens do. Savage said, we have a president who's close to becoming a dictator. Why do many people feel that way? Is this irrational? Is it racism, as the left would claim? Well, let me give you the reason. The National Mall was closed to World War II and Vietnam vets, yet Obama had opened it up to illegal aliens so they could hold a rally. They told us that they closed the memorials due to the government slowdown, and yet this immigration reform protest occurred today. Let me see if I got this straight. Men who fought in wars have no First Amendment rights, but illegal aliens do? Obama is behind this. He's the same president who encouraged the overthrow of a legitimate government in Egypt and overthrew Gaddafi in Libya and almost went to war in Syria. We don't have a presidency so much as we have a crypto-communist dictatorship in the making, or an overt one. I don't know if I can take another day of it. I don't know how much more I can take of Obama's lies looking like Julius Caesar. A young Julius Caesar with the bangs. What's with the bangs and the smirk? All he needed was a toga today. The man was relishing lying to the world. He was lying, and I looked at the press. I felt bad for the Schmendricks in the audience. I see guys who must have gone to college. Their parents must have given them piano lessons, accordion lessons, elocution lessons, dentures, dental work. The parents must have spent fortunes on these people to put them through journalism school, and they're sitting there not asking one journalistic question. It was embarrassing to watch. Not one of them stood up and said, Mr. President, you're full of crap. You're the one holding the world hostage. How dare you say that? Or how about this one? Hey, Mr. President, don't you ever get tired of lying? Or how about this one? You get the picture. Not one of them said anything. No one tells them this, though. That's the problem. No one even said, what's with the bangs, Mr. President? What's with the bangs, Mr. President? You gotta cut that out. I mean, it's not selling in middle America. 855-400-7282. You know, there's a two ways to listen to the Savage Nation, all radio. One is the way you're doing it on the radio, regular radio, car, press a button, house, press a button. Then you can get it on your iPhone. That's for you young people under the age of 79. Or you can listen to it on the internet. I am number one. I smashed everyone. In fact, I was bigger this time in the third quarter of 2013 than I was last time. I thought I wouldn't be. You never know. I'm 13.1 share, and my most direct competitor is Sean Wallbanger Hannity, who's number seven with a 4.4 share. It's not looking good for him, because if we're going to go head-to-head on talk radio, on regular radio, if I'm number one on the internet with a 13.1 share, and he is number seven with a 4.4 share, I suspect he lost the fight before he enters the ring. It's that simple. 855-400-7282. And I'm in it to win. I'm a competitive but not a vicious fighter. What I want you to understand about me, I watch boxing all the time. And what I love is after the guys brutalize each other in the ring, and they do, they really go for, you know, the kill. Have you ever seen them sort of the camaraderie after a fight, how they respect each other? I'm that kind of fighter. I'm not a vicious fighter. I am hungry to win, yes. I have a tremendously competitive nature. I have since I was born. It's probably because I was a breech baby, and any kid, any infant will tell you who becomes a man that if you come out feet first and your head is stuck and you're struggling for the first breath of air to get out and start to say, hey, I want to talk, until you finally get the first words out, I mean, it's a long time. It's an eternity. Your legs are out kicking. Your arms are in there. Your head's stuck in there. You don't know where you are now because you're not a whole thing inside a floating womb. You're out of the amniotic sac. You're still connected, but you're disconnected. In essence, you have one foot in and one foot out, which is what radio is all about. So I, in essence, was born for radio, only I didn't know it. I tried other things for many, many years. And there's no question that I will be number one. And then what? Then what's going to happen? What, I'm suddenly going to go to heaven? I thought about that today. What if I had all the money in the world and all the ratings in the world, and was loved by everyone in the world, and then what? It doesn't change anything anyway, which is why religion enters the picture. That is where theology comes into the picture. That is where priests and rabbis enter the picture. Because at the end of the day, it really isn't only about winning. I've known that for a long period of time. But still in all, I want to win anyway. It's that simple. I don't know why, it's just an instinct. It's probably the breech birth. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. It's the best of times. It's the worst of times. We happen to be stuck with a babe as our master. Read the Bible. I mean, read the Bible. Women rule over them and a babe is their master. It's biblical. We're being ruled by the four horsewomen of the apocalypse, and a babe is our master. It's pretty clearly biblical. I don't know where this ends. I have a terrible feeling about where it ends, but hey, I've been wrong before. I tend to be a pessimist, and I'm usually proven wrong in terms of my emotions. I'm a very pessimistic person. Don't get me wrong. I'm not one of these fake, you know, Dale Carnegie types, you know, how to win friends and influence people. That seems to have worked in the 50s. I don't know. It doesn't work anymore. Who actually believes that kind of carny talk? I don't know. Maybe it works for some. Michael Savage, number one streaming talk show, 13.1. Rush Limbaugh, 12.1. Glenn Beck, 8.3 share. And then everyone else falls by the wayside. Imus, 0.6. Why is Imus still on the radio? I don't understand this. How could that man have an audience? Now, you talk about American Flyer. He belongs on an American Flyer train set. Is like a, you know, a leprechaun. They should recreate Imus as a leprechaun and put him on a train, a toy train. Look at these people down here on the bottom. Never heard of them. Yeah, no, look, we're all in the same. But yeah, we're all friends. Oh, sure, it's just like we go to a club at night together. Oh, hey, how you doing, Rush? How you doing? That was a great show you did today. Oh, yeah, you're a great one. Oh, no, you're the great one. No. Reminds me of Art Carney and Jackie Gleason with the raccoon skin caps. Hello, great one. No, you're the great one. Hey, great one. It's like the great one club. The great one. How can anyone listen to that? How can you believe anyone is a great one? How? Aren't they embarrassed? They have no sense of shame. Well, that's why. Now, this Janet Yellen as head of the Federal Reserve is typical. It's nothing. It's not that she's bad. She doesn't know the first thing about business. Nothing. Never ran a Carvel stand. Never produced the smaller. Let's say you're a woman in business and you've built a business through a cookie shop. You know what it takes. She's never done that. 1997, Chair, President's Council of Economic Advisors. 2004 to 2010, President and CEO, Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco. 1985 to 06, Professor, Haas School of Business, UC Berkeley. So you mean she was double-dipping? She was a professor at the Haas School of Business and President of the Federal Reserve Bank at the same time? How does that work? How did they double-dip all of these con people? 2010, the President, Vice Chair, Federal Reserve Board of Governors. Who needs the Federal Reserve? Who needs the Federal Reserve to begin with? What is she there for, Yellen? She's going to save, here comes Yellen, Grandma Yellen, going to save the U.S. economy. I love the local yokel newspaper. Everything has to be native. Though a native of Brooklyn, that means red diaper dopa baby. When you hear the name Yellen and see native of Brooklyn, it means she was raised steeped in red diaper dopa babyisms. So they write, though a native of Brooklyn, Yellen has deep Bay Area roots. What do you mean deep roots, you idiot? The only people with deep roots here are the Miwok Indians, and they disappeared a long time ago. Who has deep roots here? In 49, the miners came. In 51, ever you hear that one? It was Mark Twain wrote that. I almost got killed once saying it in a bar in Lake Tahoe. I shouldn't have done it. In 49, the miners came. In 51, the prostitutes. And then he went on to say something about the native sons of the Golden West, which was not very complimentary. But it was Mark Twain. I guess he got fed up with the local yokelism about native stuff. How do I go for the native? What do you mean native? What does that mean? Your great-great-grandfather was a gold miner or a prostitute or a claim jumper? The grandfather could have been a prostitute, too. Don't underestimate the power of the purse. President Barack Obama plans to nominate Janet Yellen. Oh, God, another red diaper dopa baby. Another deep red commie. What does she know about business? Nothing. I actually like Lawrence Summers. I thought he was a far more qualified, better man. And they threw him out because he was not going to go along with Obama's juggling of the books. But basically, what do you think they do? It's juggling the books. It's like when you get caught with a business that's a fraud during an audit, you juggle the books if you're a crook. So she's going to be juggling the books, pumping money, which is illegal to begin with. It's unbelievable. She's still on, Megan, opposite me. She's going to soar when I'm on. When I shift to the noon, and Megan has a clear run. She was terrible last night in the 25:54 demo. She got slammed. Awful. 9 p.m. East Coast, Megyn Kelly had 289,000 in a 25:54 demographic. I don't know what drugs they use. But it says demographic 25:54. Kelly, 289. Morgan, 145. That's the slimy limey. Maddow, the strange one, the swamp creature, 299. And Dr. Drew, 76. He's creepy, Dr. Drew. I don't go for guys who are too perfect. He strikes me as something behind the scenes there doesn't add up. Anyone who's that, like, Mr. Rogers nice, you know and I know, right? Oh, his show is called After Dark. Dr. Drew's show is called After... No, I'm sorry, that's another channel. At 10 o'clock, Hannity took a real beating. He was tied with the communist O'Donnell. Poor old Anderson Blooper was 128. He's only on because, you know, he's got connections. A complete flop. His show, I don't even actually mind the guy, but he's a flop completely. I like the guy. O'Reilly, 320 versus Tapper. Tapper's the biggest flame out in the history of television. Where they got him from, I don't know. I don't know who's going to be opposite me 12 o'clock noon on Fox. Who am I competing with come that time of year? It's going to be a big blowout. Wow. I think what Kelly's going to have to do is add, like, she's going to have to talk to Roger about adding special features on her website in order to build audience and revenue for the news corporation, which will be like, see Megan pluck her eyebrows for an extra 25 cents. For only 35 cents more per month, watch Megan apply makeup. For 29 cents a month, see Megan curl her hair. You know, they can do a lot with a woman. They can't do much with guys like me. There's not much that I do before or after a show. I'm not going to talk about politics. Okay, I'll talk about politics, even though I already have done so. You have heard it already. You have heard me talk about Yellen, the most unqualified woman in the history of the Federal Reserve. But after Bernanke, I mean, you can't go further downhill than Bernanke, the man who saved the world. Savage tops in digital radio rankings again, top of michaelsavage.com. There's a lot of other things going on here, by the way. Went to the Indian buffet off the highway, overheard this. Man finishes eating, goes up to the poor Sikh owner and says, "It's all you can eat for $8.95, right?" Guy says, "Yes." He says, "Well, since I didn't finish all I can eat today, can I take it home with me?" I swear to God, now, guy was kidding, of course, but it was a funny line. It really was a funny. How do they stay in business? I don't understand it. How do they monetize an Indian buffet? I don't get it. But anyway, what's the difference? U.S. ranks bottom in math skills. No. You're kidding. You mean the feminists who took over our schools, who've been teaching them how to put condoms on cucumbers, and how diversity is wonderful, and how perversity is even better? We're wondering why our children are the lowest among 22 nations in the Organization for Economic Cooperation. How can they add when they're not taught skills? They're taught that America is terrible. Capitalism is evil. Mother and father were evil. U.S. ranks bottom in numeracy skills. Britain among worst three in youth literacy skills, study finds. See, here's the interesting part. The reason the U.S. and the U.K. are at the bottom of these literacy skill tests is because of the great flood of third world immigrants who refuse to learn. Even if they have inherent natural intelligence, they're not being required to learn anything. Now, why do the Japanese top the ranks in numeracy and literacy skills? Number one, there's almost no immigration in Japan. That's number one. Did you hear this? Because the report said Japanese aged 25 to 34 had only finished secondary education were better in writing skills than university graduates in the same age bracket in Spain and Italy.
Savage.
Join the crew and me, Brian Sussman.
Slow down, slim down, shut down, my down, your down, first down, all aboard. And Obama's traveling around giving speeches, talking to Iran, doing everything except talking to the Republicans to fix the problem. Joining us now from the Telegraph UK is Tim Stanley to lend us his view of what's going on from across the sea. Tim Stanley, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Okay, what's your analysis of the so-called slowdown?
It's amazing that just 3 days into the shutdown and Obama already decided to go out and campaign. The point being that he doesn't really want to talk to the Republicans, he wants to talk to the American people. I think what's interesting about that is it reverses the media's spin about what's happening. The media's spin is that the Republicans are holding the country hostage by insisting that Obamacare is delayed for a year, et cetera, et cetera. And the Democrats are the reasonable guys, and Obama is the man just trying to keep the country going. The fact that he goes out campaigning and refuses to negotiate with Republicans, and in fact, this week calls John Boehner to tell him, "I am not changing my position," actually shows us that the really stubborn person in this is Obama and is the Democrats. They are the ones who vetoed the Republican suggestion. They are the ones who will not negotiate. What they prefer to do instead is to carry out this great big public relations exercise. So Obama's going around the country just saying to people, "I'm the reasonable guy," as if he personally were running for office in 2016. And it's just the most amazing thing about this politician is he's someone who cannot stop running for things. Even when there's nothing to run for, he will run as if there's an election on. And that's what this is all about. It's become political theater. Obama has turned this critical debate, this critical set of negotiations, into political theater.
Well, the midstream media in the U.S. is blaming the Tea Party for the shutdown. Is it the same in England?
The European media is very much backing the message that this is all down to the Tea Party, an extraordinary message to push, really. I mean, when BuzzFeed ran its big rundown on the people who are bringing government to its knees, it came up with 10 names in the entire House. And it kind of feeds into this myth, which we're seeing on both sides of the ocean, that that John Boehner is being held hostage. He's not really a conservative. He's really a moderate guy. But for these poisonous, crazy, parasitical Tea Party people, they come in and they're holding him hostage. This is not a very realistic reading of how it all works. But it is the image that we're getting. And, of course, we're also getting the idea that Barack Obama is the reasonable statesman-like guy who is sort of trying to work through this. But you know what? Whatever the European media, European mainstream left-wing media says about something, usually the opposite is true. So whenever I'm asked this question, what are people in Europe, people in Britain thinking about things, I always say to Americans, really don't worry about it. Because in the same way that you get stuff about us wrong, we get stuff about you hopelessly wrong. And this is really a classic example of it.
Okay, what bothers you the most about this situation?
I think two things are really interesting. First of all, is that the U.S. government, even when it's shut down, is authoritarian. I mean, this is pretty incredible. So they've taken the money away. They're supposed to be closing things down, but it's being used by federal employees in order to make a big point. So you get veterans not being allowed access to memorials. You literally get, you know, a statue is out in the open. It doesn't need maintenance. It's not a security risk. And yet, for some reason, they put iron gates around it. Priests are being told that they can't say mass on army bases. They're being prevented from doing that. And the IRS has decided that it cannot afford to send tax rebates to people, but it can afford to continue to collect money. So you get the sense that even when the U.S. government has been shut down, it's still too damn big. So I think that's the first thing that's interesting. The second thing that's interesting is the way in which this president has been able to constantly play a kind of emotional game with people. He's always been able to turn every issue around. We've seen this time and time again, that while reason might be on the side of the conservatives in the argument, because, you know, America just does not have the money, Obamacare will probably be bad for jobs, et cetera, he's still able to play this very crude emotional game and make even a catastrophe like this work to his advantage.
Tim, what do you think is going to happen next? Who's going to blink first? Obama's got his back up against the wall.
It looks, I have absolutely no doubt that America will not go into default. It's only because even if it does go into default, all the economists, all the political scientists say that small little steps can be taken to actually prevent it from going properly into default. I don't think we're going to have Armageddon. I don't think we're going to have that kind of apocalypse. But what we're obviously going to have, right up until the next midterms, is this constant set of skirmishes and battles over money. The only thing that can resolve that is either the Democrats taking over in 2014 or the Republicans taking over. There has to be a political solution to what is fundamentally a political crisis. Everyone knows what needs to be done on finance and the economy, anyone who's rational or sane. So what needs to happen is that Obama's nose has to be bloodied in 2014. The Democrats have to be beaten in order to send a message that this thing needs to be resolved and spending needs to be cut. I think that's the only thing that's going to stop this depressing cycle of confrontations.
You agree with me that America's image is being tarnished by this, correct?
America's image is definitely being tarnished. I mean, in some places, I really wouldn't worry about where it's being tarnished. You know, if China complains that America's government is falling apart, well, that's probably a good thing, because in China they have too much government. The government never goes away. But undeniably, there is a sense of powerlessness about all of this. It feeds into this grand narrative that America simply can't function as a power anymore. It is undeniably damaging. I do always say, though, to European critics who tell me that, this is kind of how the system was set up. This is sort of what was intended to happen. The problem in America right now isn't necessarily with just left or right. It's actually that government itself has gotten too big for the Constitution to handle. This was never supposed to happen. No one was ever, in the Founding Fathers' plan, supposed to try and pass this kind of universal mandated health insurance. No one was ever, in the Founding Fathers' plan, supposed to try and spend this much money and run up this much debt. So the Constitution is being stretched and stretched and stretched. But you know what? I also think the fact that the Constitution is fighting back, the fact that the House is resisting, the fact that government is actually being shut down rather than just checks, blank checks signed, is actually a good thing. That's actually what the Founding Fathers intended. So it's true that lots of people in the rest of the world look at this and see powerlessness and decline. Personally, I'm always trying to encourage people to see this as a case of the Republic reasserting itself. This is the Constitution fighting back.
Where can we read more of your work?
You can read more of my work at Telegraph Blogs, which is all online, and I'm not the only one there. There's also other great writers like James Dellingpole. It's a wonderful website, Telegraph Blogs.
Hey, Tim Stanley, thank you very much for being on The Savage Nation.
It's always a pleasure.
God bless America. City orders residents to remove God bless America yard signs. Now, I'm sure the rainbow flag is permitted, but God bless America, not permitted. In this city that I'm talking about. And let's see what else is on the website, michaelsavage.com. Sign up for the nation's free daily newsletter. I think I'm going to change the show to the Once Savage Nation. How we've gone from the land of the free and the home of the brave to the land of the freak and the home of the knave. Maybe that's right. I think I should change the show from the Savage Nation to the Once Savage Nation. I don't know exactly when it happened or how it happened, but I think we've lost it completely. Chinese buying up Florida real estate. Oh, that's an interesting story. Good for them. I'm all for it as long as they drive prices up. Illegal immigration on the rise again because they all know they're going to be granted instant citizenship and a gold-plated health care, medical care, and legal care, free housing. Amnesty will grant them the dream that they've had for centuries. And you will pay for it, you stupid moron, you. Just as you youngsters, you idiots who made me number one on internet radio. My show was number one. I don't know what the latest could be, number two, three. I don't know, it'll bounce around. But in the last ratings, I was tops in online listening. Whether it's up or down, doesn't matter. Now, why? Since it's a much younger audience, they listen to me because I'm telling them that they're paying for the Obamacare care of the illegal aliens and the old people who abuse the system. That's what Obama did to you, but you voted for me because you thought he was a cool black guy. And you didn't like middle-aged white men. They were considered passe because you've been brainwashed for 20 years. Hey, hey, ho, ho, Western Civ has got to go, etc. So you wake up and here we have this incompetent bumbler in the White House. And surrounded, by the way, by incompetent bumblers. ATF tries to block Agents Fast and Furious book. That's your fascistic Justice Department. The main whistleblower in the Fast and Furious case is writing a book, and the fascist in the Justice Department is trying to stop his First Amendment rights while opening up the National Mall to illegal aliens. Another article here, why reporters fear Team Obama. They fear they're being secretly tracked. Well, that's what you get when you get a fascist in the White House. He smiles. He's a nice young man with a nice family. But he's a fascist nevertheless. Feds block view of Mount Rushmore. They barred visitors from pulling over and taking pictures of Mount Rushmore. Can you believe that they would spend money doing that? Now, why would a mean president order federal operatives to block a view of Mount Rushmore? This is a mean man. 855-407-282. I've got two main topics and some minor topics. The minor topics would be those to do with the Roman Catholic priests being told that they cannot conduct mass in military chapels by Obama, but that the army can practice football during this time of the slowdown. Because you see, Obama likes sports. Whatever Obama likes, Obama gets. So sports are good. They're legal. Obama obviously has no feel for religion. As you well know, religion is the opiate of the masses to Marxists. So to him, religion is just an opiate to the masses, and he doesn't need it. So close it down. He's written the Catholics off as well, by the way, which is why they want to flood America with the new Catholics from the Central and South American countries, because they'll be guaranteed D voters. That's all. See, the Catholics in America today are quite split on Obama. How any of them could ever vote for him, I would never understand, but they are split. It's about 50-50. But with the new Catholics that are being flooded in from Central and South America, it'll be 99 to 140% Democrat. Maybe 150% Democrat, because each of them will vote 1.5 times after the new America emerges. And so if you care to comment on any of this, the phone number is, you know what it is. Or would you prefer I talk about back pain, or depression, or digestive health? How about nutrition or heart disease? I'm not going to do it. I had a foot pain. I'm going to tell you something about natural treatments. I've written books on it. Don't try them anymore. Go for the drug. I've had a foot pain for a couple of months now. I don't want to go into it. It's plantar fasciitis, and it's been hurting me like heck. So I get up in the morning, you walk a little bit, and it goes away. You can live with it. It's manageable pain, right? I don't take any medication for it, maybe an aspirin. It's so painful, you can almost faint from it. So I know what it's from, a locked-up muscle. So I made the mistake over the weekend of letting someone do some body work on me. Now, I'm fanatic. I don't like body workers. I don't like getting naked in front of strangers. I don't like anyone manipulating my bones. I hate it. But for some reason, I said, all right, go ahead. Well, the next thing I knew, I woke up today. Not only did my plantar fasciitis get worse, but I can't move my neck. I mean, it's almost like a bad Buddy Hackett joke. That I had a bad leg, and I went to a chiropractor, and I came back, and now I have a bad leg and a bad neck. Ha 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 ha. It's not funny. I can't move my neck or my leg.
So it just shows you that sometimes you have to leave well enough alone. And sometimes your body has its own wisdom in giving you a certain pain. And what you do is you live with that pain. You don't even take drugs for the pain. But whatever you do, be very careful who you let touch your body. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The news is crazier by the second. Here's a news story I'm supposed to worry about. Tom Hanks has diabetes. Duh. I mean, that's a flash. In the middle of what's going on in the world, Tom Hanks has diabetes. He stuffed his face on Hollywood catering trucks for 30 years, and this is a news story? And now on to the news. On WorldTribune.com, special story, report Netanyahu moving closer to ordering strike on Iran. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, dismayed by a U.S. reconciliation drive, has moved closer to ordering airstrikes in Iran, a report said. The Gatestone Institute asserted that Netanyahu has placed the international community on notice that Israel was preparing a military option to destroy Iran's nuclear weapons program. I don't believe a word of it. I've heard this for so many years, it's like the boy who cried wolf already. I wish Netanyahu would stop telling everybody what he's going to do and either do it or don't do it. Reports said Israel had acquired the military platforms to attack Iran, F-15, F-16. That's nonsense. They've had F-15s and F-16s for as long as I can remember. They've had refueling aircraft for as long as I can remember. As far as Jericho intermediate-range ballistic missiles, I don't know how long they've had them or didn't have them. It sounds like a PR piece to scare the Iranians who are not going to scare very easily. They're not scared. They're not going to be scared. This is no longer going to work, the threats and the saber rattling. You have to use the saber or don't pull it at all. There's an old adage, the best warrior is he who never has to pull his sword from the scabbard. Scabbard? Not from the scaffold. But nevertheless, the greatest swordsman is he who never has to even pull a sword. I remember that one. And if you keep rattling your sabers, you know, people don't believe you after a while. I'm on Israel's side. Make no mistake about it. There are many reasons for it. The number one is that Israel's not threatened to annihilate another nation, nor has Israel ever said that they're going to wipe a race off the planet while Iran has done so. Therefore, you have to be on Israel's side, no matter where you're coming from. And the people in Israel have far more freedoms than they do in any other country in the Middle East. So for those reasons alone, then there are other reasons. But nevertheless, we have to be on Israel's side. I just can't understand how long this could go on. But don't call me about that, because we can't even talk about something we can't confirm, right? That's simple. I'm having a bit of a sort of lighter show tonight because I don't know why. I was in a bit of a giddy mood when the show started. Yeltsin, I talked about. No one knows who she is. But, of course, they've picked a person from Berkeley who knows very little about business. She knows a lot about being a bureaucrat. And I guess the fact that she's a liberal from Brooklyn who teaches at Berkeley and that she's a woman, that's sufficient qualifications in the Obama administration. What else is in the news? Michael Savage is number one in digital radio rankings again. Michael Savage, 13.1 share. Rush Limbaugh, 12.1 share. Glenn Beck, 8.3 share, etc. And the rest fall off the cliff of the top 25 streaming talk shows. Thank you very much for listening. And there's not, I mean, there is news. There's a lot of news out there. The march on Washington by the illegal aliens is probably the greatest black eye Obama's ever given himself. It will never be forgotten by most Americans. Never. Going along with closing the World War II Memorial and the Vietnam Veteran Memorial and closing off the turnouts for Mount Rushmore, going along with that and permitting illegal aliens to march on Washington in a rally on closed National Mall is one of the greatest disgraces in the history of the American presidency. And if we had a legitimate media, somebody would have asked that today. But that's an old story. There's no point in complaining about the fact that we lost our media a long time ago. Park rangers turned Gestapo. Well, I saw that a long time ago. When my children were young, the girls were having a picnic on a beach in Marin County, and a group of feminasties came out with 44s on their not-so-thin hips. Mean-faced, clipped-haired park rangers with 44s threatened the girls with arrest for having a picnic on Stinson Beach a couple of decades ago. I think that the private national security force that Obama's been warning us about, that threatened he would unleash them on the public, would be the feminasties.
in the Park Service. Why were they armed? I complained about when they were armed. They were armed by Nixon. I said it shouldn't have been done. Why are you arming these women? What'd you give them guns for? Who are they using them on? The Mexican mafia to stop them from growing drugs? No. Who are they using them on? Old ladies in a tour bus. Well, here's my story. Obama administration denied mass to Catholics. I had that on the show yesterday. That's good. What else is in the news? Sebelius shredded on Daily Show. I don't like the Daily Show. I never watch him. I was never a fan of Jon Stewart for one reason. The main reason is he doesn't write his own material. He doesn't do improv like I do. And I know it's true. How do I know that's true? Because during the writer's strike, he couldn't go on the air. It was like the rest of him. He was a puppet. He's Pinocchio. The smart guys in the back with the curly hair and the big eyeglasses who no one likes, who write his material, when they were off the air, he was off the air. So why do you never believe him? He's like Obama. Why would you believe a word the man says? Me, it's on the natch. What you get from me, I create on my own. It's bounced off the news, yes, but it's pure improv. I couldn't do the show. If I had a script, it's alleged, by the way, that I'm never going to say who. You'll never hear it from me. There are top people in this business who have a written script for them, and they read it from the beginning of the show to the end. There's not one word that comes out of their mouth that's not written for them. I will never divulge who they may be. And then there are others in the business who have staged calls. I don't have staged calls. I don't have your phone numbers. I never ask anyone to call the night before. This is an improvisational show. This is why it's exciting. And that's it.
Savage.